All right. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. So we're going to start tonight a two-part series. The truth is, it's actually going to be an ongoing series throughout the year, discussing the concept of chinuch, discussing the concept of, you know, we're going to loosely use the word chinuch as education. But the truth is, as we're going to really understand, it represents a much greater process of helping our children actualize their potential. So what I'd like to be able to do tonight is kind of just lay a little bit of groundwork for what this process is, what our responsibility as parents or grandparents, whatever capacity one is coming in, to be able to help our children fully self-actualize and be successful in life, recognizing that success for our children looks different for each and every child. We're going to dedicate our learning tonight in memory of Eliyahu ben Yaakov Yosef in the merit, the hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's neshama have an aliyah and the family a nechama. So let's begin. And we're going to begin with, of course, the number one chinuch pasuk. Number one, chanuch lenar al pi darko, gam ki yaskin lo yasur mimena. So again, just actually before I start this pasuk, so tonight is going to be a little bit more of a general overview. Next week, we'll get a little bit more into some of the specifics regarding parenting or parent-child dynamic relationships. And God willing, we'll have little installments throughout the year focusing on different topics and different insights. So again, back to number one. Chanoch lana apidako. Literally, teach a child according to his way. Gam kiyaskin lo yosur mimeno. That when he gets old, he will not turn away from it. So of course, again, from here we have the whole concept of chinuch. So what does the word chinuch mean? So the Malbim points out in number two. Chanoch margilo me'at me'at. So this is very interesting. The Malbim says that the word chinuch means that you habituate the child a little bit at a time. A recognition that, you know, we live in a society of instant gratification. So we want everything. I spoke about this a little bit this morning in the Tehillim Shir. So we want everything, and we want it now. The first thing the Malbim says, that when it comes to your children may expect instant gratification, but parents can never expect instant gratification from their children. The Lashon of Chanuch is margilo me'at me'at. Everything is taken exceptionally slowly. Everything happens very slowly in the world of educational maturation, in the world of chinuch. But let's explore this a little bit more. If you take a look at number three, so I'm quoting to you over here from the Chovas HaTalmidim. It's actually in your source packet. It's pages 4, 5, and 6. So just a little bit of background here. So if you turn to page 4, so you'll see this is a Xerox copy from a sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim, which was written by Rav Klonimus Kalmish Shapira. Rav Klonimus Kalmish Shapira was the Rebbe of Piazhetsna. So the Rebbe of Piazhetsna is most well known for his sefer Ish Kodesh. The Rebbe was in the Warsaw Ghetto. And every Shabbos, if you could imagine, every Shabbos he would go ahead and he would deliver a drasha to the residents of the ghetto. So those drushas were recorded, they were written down, and they were hidden in a canister. They were buried in the ghetto. The Rebbe himself perished in Auschwitz. So after the war, someone who was there in the ghetto over the course of the war came, unearthed the canister, and they put together those drushas, calling them Eish Kodesh. So the Rebbe, much earlier on, wrote a sefer called Chovas HaTalmidim. So Chovas HaTalmidim is literally, the title is, The Obligation of the Student. So this is interesting, because often we discuss the obligation of the teacher. So here he wrote a whole sefer about the obligation of the student. That in order to be a student, there are certain expectations. In order to be a student, there are certain obligations. And if you don't live up to your student obligations, then you will not be able to be a partner in the learning process. See, he has something amazing. If you look on page 5, so no, page 4 is just the title page from the Sefer Chovas HaTalmidim. So he has an introduction to this Sefer. And the introduction is, Siach em hamalamdim v'avos habanim, a conversation with teachers and parents of children. So here, again, remember, the essence of the Sefer is focused here on students. His introduction, however, is directed towards parents and teachers. And here is something amazing. You know, I'll tell you what's truly gripping about this is we're going to see what the Rebbe says in just a moment. You know, the Rebbe, bless you, the Rebbe didn't have a graduate degree, and he didn't have the opportunity to avail himself of so many of the resources that our present-day teachers have. But what was amazing is he understood certain things intuitively just based on Torah, which is just incredibly dramatic. Because a lot of the things that he's saying now are things that are taught in general in educational methodologies. So look what he writes, paragraph A. Shlomo HaMelech Amar B'Mishlei. We're not going to read all of this. I put a lot more on this sheet than what we're going to cover. It's yours. You'll look at it at home. So Shlomo HaMelech writes in Mishlei, Chanuch Lena Api Darko. Gam kiyaskin lo yasser mimene. Quotes the pasuk we just quoted before. Teach a child, train a child according to his way. When he gets old, he will not veer from it. So first of all, what's fascinating is that, actually, let's finish. V'zeh hu ikar hachinuch, shelo bilvad shanar nar, v'yad aviv oda tekifa alav yishma lo v'yasa kimitzvasov, rak gam kishi yigdal v'hu birshuso, Af kiyaskin lo yasra mimena. So the Rebbe says something absolutely amazing, which is that if you'll notice, Shlomo HaMelech says, Chanoch lena api dako, train a child according to his way. Fine. That's what, Baruch, there are more chairs in that closet if you need. Right? There are, so not only do you teach a child according to his way, but gam kiyaskin lo yasra mimena. What's the goal, even before we get into what chinuch is, but what's our goal when we educate our children? Our goal is that whatever we teach them, not simply remain committed to short-term memory. We want to make sure, you know, it's if we all remember back to our student days, so what happens the night before the test, right? So you cram everything into your brain, and then what happens right when the test is over, right? It all simply dissipates. And the truth is, you know, reflecting back on that, it's very frustrating because here we all went through schooling, the truth is not me. I paid attention all the time. I have to say that because my parents listened to the shiurim. So I have to make sure that they spent a lot of money on my education. But other people, you know, we cram, and it's such a chaval because we lose out on all of this information because simply, very often, our educational process just becomes about the test or just becomes about the score, but there's no real emphasis and there's no real value placed just on the pure acquisition of information. We'll talk about that later. But what the Rebbe points out over here, what Shlomo HaMelech is teaching us is, how do you know? You never wonder this as a parent. How do I know if I have been a successful parent? Right? I guess it's a more fundamental question of how do you measure success in parenting? So one of the ways is, do your children live their lives by the lessons that you gave them when they were young? Do they remember what you taught them? Not do they spit it back like, yeah, mom always says this or dad always says this. But literally, do the lessons you tried to give them over when they were young, do they inform and shape them even when they get older? That's what King Solomon is saying. Chanoch lena api darko. Yes, you have to teach a child according to his way. We'll discuss what that means. But what's the goal? Gam kiyaskin lo yasur mimenu. We don't want the lessons we impart to our children to simply go into their short-term memory and that's it. And when they get out of the house, it's all done. Rather, even when they get old, we want it to be that whatever we've conveyed to them remains with them. He goes on, paragraph B, the underlying part. Ki hachinuch lo tzivui levadu. Shemetzave espino ol tamido asekach vekach. Because chinuch is not just simply ordering your child. We'll focus on children, not as much students. Ordering your child to do this and to do that. Gam lo hergil bilvatu. Also, chinuch, educating one's child is not about habituation. It's not just simply getting them to react in a Pavlovian way. Shemar gilo lasis masim tovim. Yoser gadol v'yoser pa min atzivui u'min ahergil hu achinuch. Chinuch, we haven't even defined the word yet, but chinuch is something bigger. Chinuch is much more than just getting your kids to do what you want them to do or getting them to listen to you when you give them a directive. Chinuch is something much bigger. He could skip down to paragraph C. He says, Ki es tevas chinuch. So let's add first, you know, in order to have a meaningful discussion about chinuch, we have to first define our terminology. What does that word chinuch mean? See, he writes, Mefarish Rashizal. Ala pasik bona bayis velo chanacho. So this is fascinating. So the Piaget's the Rebbe looks in Chumash Devarim. The Torah speaks about some of the exemptions from war. So if you go out to battle, so remember again, there's a Kohen Mashuach Melchama, there was a special Kohen whose job it was to speak to the troops before they went out to battle, and he would be the one who would speak about the exemptions. Under certain circumstances, you don't have to go to war. For example, so if somebody just got married, Or mi ha'ish asher bana bayis, who is the person who has built a home, b'lo chancho. Now, what does that mean? He says, mefarish Rashi za'al ha'pasuk, chinuch lashon haschala. The word chinuch, b'lo chancho, is someone who has built a home, but has not yet inaugurated it, has not yet lived in it. Upashit shelo al kol haschala yomer lashon zet. So, first of all, so the Piagetzna says, the word chinuch really means not to educate, but the word chinuch is lashon of haschala, beginning. So what does this mean? Skip down to paragraph D. He says, "Vahu lashon haschala kinisas ha'adam okli lo'umnus shu asid la'amod ba." The lashon of chinuch means the inauguration or the beginning or the induction of something into a process that ultimately is going to be successful in the future. Let me define this. For example, when a Jew buys a home, so what do we do? There's a Chanukas Habayis, right? So you ever wonder to yourself, what's the point of a Chanukas Habayis? Why do we do that? Right? Sachnasas Archim, you know, there's a famous idea by the Stipler. The Stipler says that why does a Jew buy a home? So the Stipler, Zechatad Levracha, said because you need somewhere to put your mezuzah. Now, the Stipler wasn't much of a joker, so he wasn't saying, what he was saying was for a Jew, the reason I have all material things is because they open up spiritual avenues for me. There's a mitzvah of mezuzah. I can't fulfill the mitzvah of mezuzah without a home. Therefore, the home is my ticket, so to speak, to the mitzvah of mezuzah. It's an orientation. So the Piagetzna says that chinuch is the process where I say, this thing that stands before me now, it looks simple, it looks ordinary, it looks regular, but it's not. There's something deeper. There's a deeper component. There's a deeper a dimension. There's a deeper identity that right now may not be present, but I have to do my work in order to draw out that holiness, draw out that spirituality. So when I have a Chanukas Habayis, what I'm saying is, I could look at this home in two ways. It's a house, and it's very nice, and it's a place for me to live, and it's a place for me to relax. Or I could say, no, this is a spiritual base. This is where I put my mezuzah. This is where I have my hachnasas archim. This is where I'm going to host tzedakah parlor meetings. This is where I'm going to do all the different various spiritual things. So says the Piagetzna, that's what chinuch means. Kenisas ha'adam okli, the entry of a person or an object, lo'umnus. Umnus literally means into a trade. But for our purposes, it means into a direction, into a destiny. Shu osid la'amod bo. V'chein chanuch lenar. Chanukas HaMizbeach. Skip down to paragraph F. He says, Teva la'atzmi tevas chinuch. V'ne'emra al hodsa'as ha'achshara asher ba'odam obikli min ha'koach ala po'el. Says the Piagetzna, the word chinuch means that you see something that has potential, and chinuch is the process where you expose that potential. Chinuch is the process where you take the potential and you turn it into kinetic. Chinuch is the process where right now this thing, whether it's a thing or a person, looks ordinary, but I know that if I look deep into your soul, I'll find something extraordinary. The question now becomes, how do I turn something ordinary into something extraordinary? That's the process of chinuch. So you see already something amazing. That word that often we translate simply as education is something so much more, because we're going to see, do you know the least important part of educating your children? The least important part is?
Test grades.
Test grades, all right, that's true. Right? The least important part is what you say. So you're going to see so much of chinuch is what a parent does. This is the greatest parenting mistake that people often make. They think that if they lecture their children or tell their children what to do and what not to do, that suddenly that's good chinuch. Lecturing your children has a place and has a time. But the real essence of chinuch is, what do you see when you look at your child? What do you see when you look at that child? Do you see their test grades? Do you see what reading group they're in? Do you see ultimately their successes and their failures? Or do you simply see an entity that has so much, a ridiculous amount of potential, more potential than they'll ever actualize? That, says the Rebbe, is what we have to see when we look at our children. I see a bundle of potential. What's my job as a parent? My job as a parent is a very simple yet highly complex one, which is to help my child actualize his or her potential. That's my job. That's what chinuch is. I see right now what it is. The child looks very ordinary, very simple, maybe not extraordinary in any way, but I know deep down there's a reservoir of extraordinary potential. Chinuch is the process where I help my child actualize that potential. He goes on, paragraph G. He says, "V'cheshene'emra teva zuha chinuch habanim, az hakavani hi legadel ulifateach es tiv'o v'hachshiro social hayeled shenimtseis bo b'mida kitana o b'koach o b'he'elam levat u'legalosa." The process of chinuch is, I have to identify the character traits of my child and figure out how can I help my child maximize or amplify those traits. V'cheivan, sha'ish ha'yisraeli od b'yalduso ruach Hashem nishmas shakai temuno gnuzabo tzrichim legadel u'lechanich oso u'lotzia legaluso la'fricha v'ye lihudi ne'mar oved Hashem. So the Rebbe goes on over here, he explains more and more that when we see our children, often we just see, right, they're wonderful kids. I don't mean the parent who says that their child is a tzaddik. I think it's the worst thing when parents call their children my little tzaddik. Your kid's not a tzaddik, right? You're not a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik. Your kid's not a tzaddik either. And sometimes you'd be surprised. It's the worst thing you could do to children because it contributes to an unhealthy, inflated sense of self. It is very important to teach children a sense of humility, healthy sense of self, right? Be very happy with who you are, confident in who you are, but don't make them into more than what they are, because if they think they're a tzaddik, and then they find out very quickly in life that they're not a tzaddik, which we all find out in life that we're not a tzaddik, not yet tzaddikim, it could cause incredible turmoil for a child. So the Rebbe says, but that's chinuch. Again, so chinuch is this process where I see the dormant potential within my child, and chinuch is the process by which I am going to be my child's partner in helping to actualize that potential. Let me just show you a few other things. Skip a little bit to paragraph K. He says, look what he writes over here. Lo es umno sachinuch shela pedagogia kavanasinu bazel lahoros. When we speak about chinuch, we're not speaking about educational pedagogy. That's not what we're talking about over here. He says, ech l'shamish b'secha tamidem tzoyim. When we speak about chinuch, we are not talking about appealing to the child's intellect. You know, I have the privilege to teach a group of boys for Neri Yisrael through Johns Hopkins in the summer, a graduate course in education. And I often tell them that, you know, the difference between a Rebbe and a professor, or a Mora and a professor? What's the professor's job? What's the professor's job? Teach the curriculum. Get in and get out. Here's the information. Hopefully I made it clear. Get out. There's no obligation for relationship. There's no expectation for relationship. A Rebbe or a Mora is someone who takes a vested interest in their students. Yes, I'd like to give you information, but the truth is, my goal is not to convey to you information. My goal is to help you self-actualize. My goal is to help you actualize your potential. It could be that through the conveyance of information, that's one of the ways in which we do it. So the Piagetzna says, sometimes when we speak about chinuch, when we speak about educating our children, we often assume that that is referring to the conveyance of information. Says the Rebbe, and again, this is the Rebbe's view, not everybody has to agree with it, which is the conveying of information is the least important part of the chinuch you're going to give to your children, for a very simple reason. Our kids don't need us to go ahead and receive information. There's this incredible thing called Google, right? They can get any information they want. You can get information from a textbook. That's not why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave your children to you to give information. That's part of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave our children to us because we are, each of us as parents, are uniquely suited to help our children actualize their particular potential. I can help my children in a way that you cannot. You can help your children in a way that I cannot. That's the parental gift that we are given, and that's the process of chinuch. He goes on, he says, Eich laharchiv es binoso b'yidiyas ha-pshat ha-Torah, kilo, look what he writes, and this is such a powerful statement, in the middle of paragraph K, kilo es ha-seichel shel ha-talmid bilvad anu mechapsim ata. We're not looking for the intellect of our children right now. That's not what we're focusing on. We're not focusing on their intellectual acumen or how they're doing on their testing. That's not what we're focusing on. Rak es kol ha-talmid. He says, what are we looking for? It's amazing. the whole student. Right? So anyone in the field of education knows, right? The all about the whole student. Amazing how the Piagetsna, right, without any formal training, understood. I mean, he had plenty of formal training, but not formal training we have today, understood that the essence of education is the whole student, is the whole child. Es hanefesh, the soul, ruach u'neshama shal hayeled hayisraeli anu mechapsin, lekasher b'alekei Yisrael, v'yei Yehudi chari l'dvar Hashem, v'chom al-yav. He says, in order for us to really be mechanech our children, we can't just connect to their minds. We have to connect to their hearts. We have to connect to their souls. Skip down a little bit. He says, all right, the truth is he goes on in paragraph L and M to speak about, well, what happens if you see negative traits in your children? He says, so this is all very nice, helping my children to self-actualize. If they're good kids, what happens? All kids are good kids. What happens if my child has some negative traits? What do I do then? So the Rebbe says something beautiful. I'll tell you this outside. The Rebbe says, if you could imagine, your children are like your orchard. They're like your apple orchard. And what happens if you go into the apple orchard? So if you pick that apple off the tree too early, what does the apple taste like? The apple's bitter. So says the Rebbe, sometimes you just have to give people a little bit of time to ripen. Sometimes the negative midah of the child right now has to be dealt with, but there are certain things also that just take a little bit of time to outgrow, a little bit of time to mature through. And if you just give it time, the Rebbe says, and you nurture the child in the right way, the child will be able not to outgrow, but will be able to channel all of that negativity in a different way. So what we get from the Piagetsna is a very important day. Go back to number four now on the first page. So, and again, like I said, there's more here. You'll look at this on your own. But what we get from the Piagetsna is something truly remarkable, which is a brand new definition of chinuch. So if the only thing you came for tonight was this, it was still worth it. Because chinuch suddenly doesn't mean to educate. Truth is, it has very little to do with education at all. Chinuch is the process by which I look at something, I see its deeper potential, and I figure out how to tap into and to actualize the potential. That's the process of chinuch, which, by the way, totally goes ahead and, if you think about it, remakes our framework for parenting. You know, it's interesting. A number of years ago, I did a parenting workshop somewhere. And the way we started is we went around the room asking people, like, what's their conception of parenting? What is your goal? What do you think your job is? If you have to write your job description as a parent, what's your job? So what do you think, like, the number one answer was? I'm sorry?
Love them.
Tart, you're such a good woman. Right. I wish that was the number one answer. Number one answer, everybody's afraid to answer. The number one answer is, I need my child to be financially self-sufficient. That's it. That's my job as a parent, to make sure that my child could earn a parnasa, to make sure that my child could go ahead and be in control, which, by the way, that's not wrong. Meaning, yes, our job as parents is to be able to allow our children to be self-sufficient and to stand on their own and to be able to support themselves and to spread their wings. That's absolutely important. Others said, my job as a parent is to make sure my child gets the best education. Okay, very nice. But it was amazing how it was only about a number four or five that people came on to the idea of the Piagetsna. You know what the job of a parent is? Very simple. The job of a parent is to help their child actualize their potential. That is the only job as a parent. Now, that process of helping your child actualize their potential is a multifaceted dynamic. There are many, many different things that go into that and many ways in which that manifests itself. But says the Piagetsna, that is my job as a parent. First of all, what it presupposes is that I believe that my child can be great. You know, there's an amazing halacha. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch says that if a mother has a child and she can't nurse the baby for whatever the reason, and she wants to hire a wet nurse, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that it's better to hire a Jewish wet nurse and not to hire a Gentile wet nurse. Okay, where does the halacha get this from? It gets it from Moshe Rabbeinu. Because again, the Medrash says that when Bas Paro found Moshe Rabbeinu on the Nile, so he was a little baby, he wanted to nurse, he wouldn't nurse from any of the Egyptian women. He would only nurse again from his mother. And the Gemara says, because Peh, She'asid Ledaber Im HaShchina, the mouth that was going to talk with the Shechina, couldn't nurse from a Gentile woman. So Shulchan Aruch codifies this La'alacha, but there's an obvious question, which is, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, fine, I got it. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. So what do you see from that halacha? You see from that halacha that we have to look at our children like they have the ability to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single child has the ability to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. Every single child has the ability to be a Sari Imenu in their own way. They say about Rav Sonnenfeld, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was one of the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim, that when they used to come to him and ask him for a letter of approbation to open up a new yeshiva, he always asked one question. He didn't ask, you know, what do you teach in the curriculum? He didn't ask how much Gemara. He asked one question. This is amazing. He said, what was the question? Do you teach, this was a boy's yeshiva, do you teach the children that they have the ability to become the Mashiach? Do you teach a child that they have the ability to become the Mashiach? In other words, what he was asking was, do you teach the children that they have such potential? Do you teach the children that they have limitless capacity? Do you teach the children that they have so much that they haven't yet even begun to tap into? That's chinuch. That's chinuch, and that is the singular responsibility of a parent. I have to make sure, A, that my child knows I believe in them, because that's very important. Remember, this all presupposes that I actually believe that my child can be great. Because, you know, sometimes, parents don't always believe that. I remember when I was starting out in the Rabbonos, I had a father come to speak with me, and he wanted my help to get his daughter into a particular school. And he came with his daughter, and he said, my daughter is a wonderful girl, wonderful Milos, but she's terrible at math. She's terrible at math. Right? And science, not so great at either. But other stuff, she's great in. And the girl is standing right there. Right there. And I said to myself, Ribono Shel Olam, of course she's not good at math. She'll probably never be good at math. Because if you're telling her that she's not good at math, and you're saying it right in front of her face, so what's the message you're communicating to her? The message you're communicating is, I love you very much, but your math ceiling is right here. It's right here. And no matter what you do, you're probably not going to break through it. So this definition of chinuch presupposes that we believe in our children. I believe my children have the ability to be great and to accomplish incredible things. Once I believe that, my job as a parent is to help my child actualize their potential. So let's spend a few moments discussing, so how do we do this? How do we help our children actualize their potential? So I want to share with you, we're not going to get through everything tonight, but I want to share with you a couple of ideas. Take a look at number four. So this is from the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, and I included for you a little bit of a biography here. So the Vilna Gaon was the primary Torah personality of his generation. He says something absolutely amazing. He says, Chanuch lenar api darko. What does it mean? Teach a child according to his way. Kishu od nar, v'az gam kishayaskin lo yasser mimena. Now this is also very important. See, remember, what the Piagetzna picked up on was that the essence of chinuch was, how do I know if I've been a successful parent? If my child is still living by the principles that I gave them even when they're old. The Gra makes another observation. The Gra says, Chanuch lenar. You have to educate your children when they're still young. In other words, that so often it happens that someone comes with a crisis with my teenager. Crisis with my teenager. So the first question a person has to ask themselves when they have a crisis with their teenager is what? Well, what were you doing for the first 15 years? Right? Meaning, what was happening when they were young? Chinuch, if you want to be an effective mechanich, an effective parent, so parenting begins from the moment that you hold that little baby in your arms. That's when parenting begins. And when does it end? When does it end? Right? It ends after 120. That's when it ends. Of course, it takes on different forms at different periods of the child's maturation. But parents, says the Gra, Chanuch Linar, if you want to have an impact on your child, you can't wait till they're 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and then wondering, why am I butting heads? Why are we struggling? Well, of course, because if I didn't lay the groundwork for successful chinuch when they were 2, 3, 4, and 5 years old, then what, at the age of 13, 14, 15, 16, I expect them to wake up and suddenly go ahead and march to the beat of my drum or the drum that I think is... It doesn't happen that way. Chanuch linar. We have to begin this intensive parenting chinuch process when our children are still young. V'ha'inyan, get ready. Listen to what the Gra says. And these words, I think, are probably going to... When I first learned this Gra, I literally was speechless, which never happens. This is such an overwhelming idea. He says, "V'ha'inyan ki ha'adam i'efshar lo lishbar darko." The Gra says, "People can't change." People can't change. What does that mean? Our entire religion is built on the premise of change, right? Tshuva is one of the cornerstones of our ideology and theology. Change is our theological bread and butter. So what does it mean? E'efshar la'adam, ki'efshar lo'lishbar darko, kilomar. What does that mean? Mazolo shenolad bo. Literally, the mazel with which you are born. Now, what does this mean? Ela shenitna ha'bechira biyat ha'adam, sheyuchal le'echoz b'mazlo, ula'amido kefi sheyirtzeh. So the Gra says something amazing. The Gra says that many of us are born with innate predispositions. That's the way you're born. That's why Kesh Baruch Hu hardwires each of us in different ways. And the truth is, there are many things about ourselves that we can't change. This is a fact of my personality. I can't change, but you know what I can do? What can I do? Very important. I can't change, but I can channel. I can't change, but I can channel. So says the Gra, he says, and about, I want to point out, not everybody agrees with this Gra. I'm just so struck by it. He says, Ela shenitna b'chiro, we're given the choice b'yad Adam, the hands of man. Sheyucha le'echoz b'mazalo, I could take my mazel, which of course mazel on the most basic level means astrological sign. In this case, what it really means is your predisposition. I could take my innate, my inherent predispositions, ula'amido kafi sheyirtzeh, and I could channel them in different ways. O tzaddik, O rasha, O benoni. I could be a tzaddik, I could be righteous, I could be evil, or I could be middle of the roader. O kimosha amru, hayman debemadim, yehegever ashik dama. Amar avashi, I umno, I ganva, I tabcha, I mala. So for example, the Gemara says, if somebody is born under the sign of Mars, the red planet, so that indicates that what? They're going to shed blood. So the Gemara says, again, without getting into what the meaning of these astrological signs are, let's just take it for granted. So a person's born under the sign of Mars, that what? They're going to shed blood. So that is an innate predisposition. That is a fact. That is a part of my personality. So the Gra posits, I can't change that. But what can I do? What can I do? I could decide how to channel it. So I could be a murderer. I could do that. Or I could be a surgeon. Or I could be a moel. Or it could be a shochet. So there are certain inherent predispositions that we have that I often cannot change. They're part of me. But even if I can't change it, I absolutely have the ability to channel it. He goes on. Zeu shenemar, this is amazing. Chanuch linar api darko. Teach a child or instruct a child or help a child self-actualize, says the Gra, api darko, according to his way. According to his way, lefi derech mazalo v'tivo. According to his, in other words, what is the Gra pointing at? What do you see happen so often with parents, right? Another one of the pitfalls of parenting is you see parents who try to live vicariously through their children. Like, my child is going to be my redemption. I missed out on this in life. I didn't accomplish this in life. And you hear parents say, I want better for you. But the kid says, but who says that's what I want? Right, you see this, I always find it interesting. You see this often, I don't know if it's always true, for some reason, you see parents often have like this, hang up with doctors, right? That you're going to be a doctor, you're going to be, I love doctors, I want to be clear, right? You're going to be a doctor. Why? Because now, again, that comes from a good place. The parent wants the child to be successful. But if you're telling your child when they're 3 years old because one time they picked up the stethoscope instead of the empty pot, it's a simen min hashamayim that my child is destined to be a doctor, how do you even know that when you don't yet know your kid? When you don't even know who your child is, what they are, what their strengths are, what their abilities are, what their weaknesses are. Says the Gra, that's what Shlomo Melech is teaching us. Chanuch linar al pi darko. If you want to go ahead and be a real mechanich, if you want to really engage in chinuch, you want to help, I want to help my child self-actualize. So first of all, I have to believe in them. I have to believe that they possess an incredible reservoir of potential. What else do I have to do? I have to get to know them. I have to understand my children. I have to know who they are, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. Because the truth is, my child may have a particular weakness that is just part of their personality. They may have a particular, we'll call it, predisposition for something that is just a part of their personality. Right now, that predisposition may manifest as a weakness, but it's my job as a parent to try to figure out how all the different attributes and traits of my child could be channeled into something positive. That says the Gra is chanuch linar al pi darko, figure out the derech, figure out the pathway of the child, figure out what road he or she is supposed to be going down, figure out what the predispositions are, figure out the parts of the personality that are just who they are, and help them to channel it in the right way. It sounds so simple, but so often we try to go ahead and be mechanich and educate or help our children self-actualize based on ways that we think are correct because perhaps they worked for us as kids or they make sense to us. But in order to really help my child self-actualize, the first thing I need to do is take a step back. This is not about me. This is not about my unfulfilled dreams. This is not about living vicariously through my child. This is not about wanting something better for my kid that I couldn't have for myself. This is about helping my child self-actualize to the best of their ability, to the best of their potential. And to do that, it has to be al pi darko. It has to be according to who my child is. Understand who they are, and then I could give them the proper adracha, the proper guidance. He goes on, he says, listen to this. But if you force a child to go against his nature, what's going to happen? This is amazing. What's going to happen? So remember, the girl's living in different times. So he says, of course, every single child will listen to their parents. Right, so when the child is in your home, they're going to listen to everything you say because you're forcing them and they're afraid of you. But the moment they get out of the house, they're going to throw away everything that you imposed on them. Why? Because you never took the time to know them. Because the child feels my parents gave me this whole system without ever really knowing or taking the time to find out who I am. What my abilities are, what my strengths are, what my weaknesses are, what my struggles are. They never helped me turn my weaknesses into strengths. They just dictated. And so because of that, as soon as they have the opportunity to get out, they get out. It's an incredible idea from the Gra. You should just know, again, even now, just in contemporary education, the concept of multiple intelligences, right? The notion, amazingly enough, you know, it used to be 20 years ago that, not even 20 years ago, that a kid who could not sit still in school was called?
Bad.
A troublemaker. A troublemaker. Now we realize that what? There's something called kinesthetic learners, right? There are some kids that just need movement. They can't sit at a desk. They need to be involved. They need to be engaged. They need to have dynamic learning activities. It's not because they're any less attentive than any other student. It's just they learn in different ways. And that's what the Gra is saying. For me to be a true mechanech as a parent, for me to help my child self-actualize, for me to allow my child to tap in to their potential, the first thing I have to figure out is who are they? What's their mazel? What are their traits? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? And how could I help them channel all of their kohos to do something positive? Because if you try to get your child to act against their inherent nature, they may listen to you in the short run, but in the long run, gam ki yaskin, when they get older, when they get out of the house, they will reject everything you gave them. Yes?
In thinking about how to help our children actualize their potential, and thinking about that a balance, because there's also a term called helicopter parenting. So I'm curious what your opinion is on an idea that Josh and I heard, a parenting idea, which is one-third love, one-third law, and one-third hands-off.
One-third love. You're really putting me on the spot over here. Right? One-third love, one-third law, one-third hands-off. I want to be clear about that. I should have said this from the outset. I'm not a parenting guru. You can ask my kids. So I'm just giving you, again, ideas. At the first glance, the one-third hands-off, I think, is a fatal mistake. I think parenting has to be incredibly hands-on. And I think...
What they can learn from getting a skin knee?
You know, sometimes not intervening doesn't mean you're hands-off. Not intervening means I'm hands-on, but the way I'm showing my hands-on is I'm choosing not to intervene now. So meaning it could be if my kid falls off their bike, I'm not going to run and call out Salah. I'm going to let them get up, dust off, dry their tears. But that's a conscious, informed parental decision that I'm making I'm calculating that now. The notion of hands-off parenting and somehow thinking that our kids are just going to find their way on their own, I think, especially in today's day and age, children need as much parental involvement, healthy parental involvement, as possible. Parents need to be exceptionally hands-on, especially, again, given all the different threats that our children face. You know, they have unprecedented access to all different kinds of things. If a parent, God forbid, is hands off a little bit too far removed, kids will get themselves into all kinds of trouble. The one-third law, the one-third love, I hear it. I don't know if you could come up with such a formula like that. I think different children need different things. I think some children need a lot more love, and the law, though by definition, fall into place a little bit easier. Other children need a lot more law than love. I guess I would agree with the notion that it's a mix. It's a mix of law and love. If you could assign objective percentages to it, I don't know. It doesn't sound to me parenting, as much as they're trying to put down pillars, parenting is a very imprecise science because human beings are imprecise entities. And what works for one child doesn't work for another child. And that's why, again, I think the beauty of what we're learning over here is if I understand that my goal, my job is to help my child actualize their potential, that's my mandate. And that's my mandate for every single child. The next step after that is then the grow. Okay, let me understand my kids. Because once I know what their nature is, then I could better figure out how to actually help them actualize their potential. But I think, again, a mixture, absolutely. The percentages, I don't know. And the hands-off, I don't know. That scares me a little bit. Let me share with you one more piece for tonight, and then we'll stop. Take a look at number 5. So we're going to quote extensively in our future shiurim from this sefer. This is a sefer called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch. So I would tell you, this is a must-read. A must-read. It's a small little book written by Rav Shlomo Volbi. So Rav Volbi, again, lived from 1914 to 2005. He's also most well known for, he's the author of Ali Shor, an incredible and important Musar thinker. So he wrote this little book called Zriya Ubinyan Bechinuch, literally planting and building in education. Literally, you could sit down and you could read it in an hour. It's easy Hebrew. I don't know, it could be they translated into English also, I'm not sure. But it is an incredibly important piece, both if you're a teacher as well as if you're a parent. So he says something amazing. Look what he writes in number 5. He says, Adam shenolad b'mazel ma'adin, yuchal l'shtamish b'cholzeh, le'efsharios shuskru l'chal adomos lehem. See, he's quoting over here the Gemara that the Gra quoted, the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara says that if you're born under the constellation of Mars, you're going to shed blood. So fine, that's a reality, that's a predisposition. But, says Rav Volbi, like the Gra said, I have the ability to decide how to use that koach. I can't choose necessarily, but I can channel. He says, "Kol echel lefi dargasal." About, listen to what he writes. About iefshar lafoch adam biyisodo mishofech damim litzadkan. But you can't change someone. He's using a very dramatic example from a spiller of blood, ultimately again to what? To a tzaddik. Now, what Rav Volbi is saying is the following. This is very important. Every single parent, whether we admit it or not, when we think about our children, we have in mind, we have a picture of what they're going to be when they grow up and what they're going to do and what they're going to look like and who they're going to marry and what life they're going to lead. And the truth is, usually that happens in the first moment you hold them in your arms, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving you that beautiful blessing of a child. Mamish, in that moment, you see their entire life in front of you. Sometimes the most difficult part in parenting is when your child doesn't follow the path that you had in mind. I don't mean like a bad path. I just mean that I just didn't think it was going to go down this path. This is just different. So the most important thing in parenting is it's okay to have a parental vision, but understand just because that is your parental vision doesn't mean that it's the right vision for your child. Because that parental vision may be the result of personal aspirations, may be the result of unmaterialized dreams that I have. And so a person has to be willing to adapt. So I'll give you an example. Sometimes, and again, this happens very often in different segments of the Orthodox world. So again, I think very often, so a Jewish parent, if I have a son, so what I want to know is that my son, I want to know my son's going to be a Talmud Chacham. He could be a doctor, a lawyer, whatever else. I want it to be a Talmud Chacham. And then what happens? So comes first grade, second grade, third grade, he's starting to learn, he sits down with his Rebbe and Mora, and what happens? The kids can't sit still. mamish, no patience to learn. Loves recess, runs around, can't wait for school to be over, wants to get out. So Rav Volpe is saying, and the Gra saying is, it could be my child is not going to be that kid that sits and learns. Just might not be that kid. Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? No. That's just the nature of my child. Does it mean that my child can't be great? Chas v'shalom. Greatness manifests itself in many different ways. The beautiful part in Judaism is the sitting in front of a Gemara is not the only way to actualize your personal greatness. There are many, many, many different ways. I just have to be willing, again, like the Gra said, to accept my child and to understand my child for who they are. Because sometimes it's such a source of parental aggravation and angst. When my child is not turning out the way I want it, I don't mean in more dramatic situations where a child chas v'shalom goes off the derech. I don't mean that. Those are significant sources of angst and pain for a parent. I'm talking about smaller things where the conception I had for my child to be in one direction and now they're doing something a little bit different. And the Gra says, the Rav Volpe saying is, as a parent, now again, I also want to be clear. Sometimes my child's not going in the direction I want them to, or they should be going, because maybe I'm doing that one-thirds handoff thing, right? Because maybe I'm not involved enough. So there's that fine line. But sometimes it's not because of my lack of involvement. Sometimes it's just because this is my kid. My kid just doesn't want to sit down in front of the Mishnah, the Chumash, or the Gemara. My kid's not leaving Judaism. My kid just likes to run around, play with his friends. He's very social and just doesn't have an interest in the other things. So Rav Volpe says, you have to embrace that. You have to embrace that. Again, you first have to put in all of your parental effort to make sure you know who your child is and what's best for them. But at a certain point in time, I have to embrace what their nature is. Ledugma, he says over here, look, this is the example he gives. You could have a child and his nature is just to be in constant movement, always running around. So look what he wrote. This is Rav Volpe. You know, if Shmuel Silber would tell you this, you could say, Shmuel Silber, I don't listen to him. But Rav Volpe tells it to us, we should probably listen. He says, E'efshar, lafoch yelet kazeh, le'yelet sheyoshev ala sefer esrim shalos bayom. You are not going to turn that child into someone who sits in front of the Gemara for 20 hours a day. It's just not going to happen. That kid who wants to be outside and play ball, as a chevroman, all these, you're not going to turn him into that kid that's going to sit and learn for 20 hours a day. Listen to what Volpe says. And if you force him to sit down in front of that Gemara, you will ruin the child. As ma'avdim oso, you'll destroy him. Hayelet holich achakach bederach mishalo, osemashe olo bedato, rachok mimashes kavnohor. Because again, we know this story unfortunately plays out many times, where if the parent just simply imposes the parental will on the child without understanding who the child is, then as soon as the child has the opportunity to cast off that parental yoke, the child absolutely does so. Im ata machriach oso lemaslul acher, she'enenu matim litivo. If you force that child to go down a path, to go down a road, that is not good for that child because it doesn't speak to the nature of that child. Omnam achshav hu yishmalach. Right now, the child will listen to you. Velo tafchin bipegam kol shehu. And the child will be perfect behavior. Aval me'ucher yoser, but later on down the road, kishu yiskaber kvar lo yifchad mimcha, when he gets older and he's no longer afraid of you, va'az lo yishmalach. Then the child will no longer listen to me. So this is just an incredible, incredible idea. Look what he writes. Let's just do one more piece and then we'll stop for tonight. Take a look at number 6. Rav Volpe goes on, he says, with this will end. He says, Davar muvan, shesiach, look what he writes, shesiach habanana, tzarech tipo acher, me'asher eitz atapuach. So right, it's known that to go ahead and grow bananas, to go ahead and grow a banana tree, so is different than growing an apple tree. Just different, requires different levels of involvement. Im migados siach bananos ve'eitz tapuchim, ve'na'anik l'shtem tipo, if you treat the apple tree like the banana tree, what's going to happen? Inevitably, one of them is going to die. One of them is not going to flourish. Or both of them may die. So children are like bananas and apples. How so? I have to know the interpersonal aspects, the personality aspects of my child. ulis chasheb, I'm going to take them seriously. So if we bring this all together with this, we'll conclude. But I think what we come out with tonight, and again, there's so much more to speak about, but we'll stop here for this evening. But what we come out with tonight is, number one, I think a very important definition, that this word chinuch, which is so often used just to simply refer to education, means something so much more. The Piaget's Rebbe explains to us that ultimately chinuch is the process by which I recognize that although this child may look ordinary, I understand that they possess a reservoir of the extraordinary. And the job of chinuch, my job as a parent, is to help my child tap into and actualize that potential. How does one go ahead and actualize that potential? So first of all, the Gra teaches us a number of things. The Gra says, number one, that it has to be chinuch lenar. Parental involvement and parental chinuch has to begin with children when children are young. Lay the groundwork when they're young, and then ultimately, gam kiyaskin lo yasser, and even when they get older, they'll pay attention to the lessons of their youth. Says the Gra, in order to unlock the potential of my child, step number one is, I have to get to know my child. I have to understand what he calls their mazel, their predispositions, their predilections. I have to understand who they are, what they are. And when I understand who they are and what they are, then I can figure out the best way to go ahead and help them actualize their potential. But if I simply try to get them to become great without taking the time ultimately to understand who they truly are at their core, I run the risk then of imposing upon my child a regimen that's not right for them, a chinuch that's not right for them. If my child is an apple and I water them like a banana, it's not going to work. And if they're a banana and I water them like an apple, the banana is going to taste bitter. I have to first know who my child is, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, recognizing those weaknesses may very well be part of their persona, perhaps even unchangeable. But even if it's unchangeable, it's still, I don't think this is good English, but you'll just bear with me, channelable. Not English, right? Okay, good, but it's going to work for tonight, right? It's channelable, right? You could still go ahead and channel it. And that's, again, and that's what the Volbe says, if I understand that the nature of my child is X, but I really want them to be Y, I might just have to deal with a certain degree of parental disappointment that perhaps my kid's not going to be what I thought they would be, but that's okay. Our children rarely turn out like we thought they would be. But the strong, good parent understands that parenting is never about making your children in your image. Parenting is all about helping your child to find their image. That only comes about if I believe in them. That only comes about if I'm willing to partner with them, to help them actualize their potential. That only comes about if I'm willing to recognize them, even from a young age, for who they truly are. We'll stop over here for tonight. Mirat Shem will continue with part two next week. Yes?
How do you spell Revolve,
please? W-O-L-B-E.
W-O-L-B-E?
Correct.
And when did he live? In
1914 to 2005. He just passed away not long ago.
Okay.
The author of the Ali Shore. All right. Wonderful. See everyone next week. Have a wonderful night.
Next week is part two.
Meretz Hashem.